This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Hi, how are you? Okay. Good. So we're holding in Hay, I believe. Or in yeah. Okay. V'omnom. Yeah, I'm sorry. So the first thing he had said before was in the section before that there is no way in which somebody who is Bas of Adam can have a sense of the Tanugos of Olam Haba. It's of a different nature and so on and so forth. Now he's going to speak about things that are in this world, and this really has a lot to do with defining the terms properly. As giving a basic rundown, we have terms like Gan Eden, Gehenim, Tchias HaMeisi, Meis HaMashiach, Olam Haba, and so on. All of those terms to us are sort of usually a big mishmash, and we kind of whatever it is, it's in the ever after without any clear definitions and so on. It's in these inyanim, the Sfarim that had no access to Kabbalah, that have their Mahalchim, which they built by working through all the Chazal and the Midrashim and trying to make a picture that would sort of fit whatever they saw there. There's no other way to do it. There is some distinction, I don't know what the word discrepancy, but there's a distinction between them and the others that are that had access to Kabbalah, and they sort of used Kabbalah, which is a Masoris that we have, to identify those terms. The Ramban is Cholok in the Rambam, some of these things. Like everything else, there are machlokesen. As long as a person believes and understands that there's Char V'Onish and there is an Olam Haba, however the details are, even if he leaves the details to Eibishter, or especially if he leaves Eibishter, he's a Maimon. There's no issue here that believing this type of Olam Haba, that type of Olam Haba, the other one, is of any consequence. But to be able to understand what Chazal is saying, it is good to know what we're talking about. So, V'omnei says, Hayyudim atum ronis kermator. So what about, so you just got through saying that Olam Haba is a ruchniyistik, what's the right word for it? It's a world of ruchnius, which is not shy of any experience that we have had, or that we possibly can even talk about in an intelligent way. So what about the Torah? What the Torah just says of Nasati Geshmeichem Bitom, and V'lesavachem V'artzechem, and all these things. What are we talking about? So he says, Kamnasen Shapelcha Mashayim Lecha. I will help you. In other words, the Torah says there's going to be a feedback mechanism from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we do what's right and what's good, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu greases the wheels and things move. One of people's hargashas, not inappropriate, is that sometimes when you're not sure about something, whether it's the right thing or not, and you have some sveikus, and you see that some sort of special Siyata Shemaya things are really working, or vice versa. Sometimes you do something you had doubts about, and you see that at every step of the way, something is frustrating it, being an obstacle. And it is not inappropriate to think, well, maybe I should pause. Not much different than Bilom and his Chamor. If the Chamor gets stuck three times, gets three flats, you ask yourself, maybe something is wrong. So if a person is sure that he's supposed to do that, if a person gets up to go davening in the morning, and it's difficult, it's traffic, whatever it is, one can't say that I think it's a siman that HaKadosh Baruch doesn't want me to come to davening this morning. We do know quite clearly HaKadosh Baruch would like to come to davening. Why he made traffic jam may have nothing to do with your davening. It just might be there's a traffic jam there, but you can't use it then. When a person has sveika sometimes and he feels there's no siyat Yishmai in what he's doing, then that may be considered some sort of sign or something. Al Kaponim. So he says, "Lefisha adam yefshal asik avodas Hashem lo kshu cholav lo kshu rov letzame." A person, without having his needs met and his impediments removed, he couldn't be asking avodas Hashem lo shas mochama. Lefikach yed besur elu kulam. So v'shir briyim v'shleivim ashtishem yidias Hashem ischalam haba. So the best gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us in this world is not a gift that's valued in terms of tachlis, but in terms of is this what it will this allow me to do the best I can? So it's just like when you have a factory and you get the best equipment. The best equipment is not measured in the equipment that's nicest or whatever, but the equipment that will be most productive, that will get you the most production with the least expense. Well, the fikach yid b'sur kol elu kulam. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, he told us that if we get rid of all these, v'shir b'riyim v'shleivim, and we'll be healthy and so on, ad shatishlam yidias Hashem yizchalam haba. Harei, she'ein tachas ha'toyer she'tishman ha'aretz. The tachlis of Torah is not so that the ground, be fat and give v'yaricha yomim v'evriya gufos. Eli ozru al kiyuma be'la dvarim kulam. It's that these things will help the person accomplish and attain the goals he needs to. I want to add a side point. Somebody once asked me in Esha Torah many years ago, obviously, what about the Torah? What's the Torah's perspective about health foods and stuff like that? Now this person was very, very into it, and he could spend an hour or two to get the right type of alfalfa sprout that has the important energizers and whatever else he needed. So I told him, I said, let's say a person buys machinery for a factory. And he invests $100,000 for machinery, and he spends zero in maintenance. And after 2 years, the whole thing runs to the ground and basically is not usable anymore. So the person did an avla. Yes, it costs $100,000, and he would have spent $10,000 every year for maintenance. He would still have it for many years. On the other hand, imagine a person spends $80,000 for maintenance every year. He sort of replaces everything and this and that and the other thing. So the person is also doing an avla, because that's a terrible, terrible misuse of resources. If the whole machine costs $100,000, costs $80,000 a year to keep it up so that it'll stay longer, but you're not gaining much. You're not gaining anything. You're better letting it for $10,000 a year maintenance for 10 years and then replacing it rather than having $80,000 a year. I said, if a person's perspective on himself is, I need to have the body in the best shape to do the things that are important, so fine. So a person doesn't eat garbage and does what he's supposed to do to take care of himself, and that's most appropriate. But if a person invests enough time and energy so that if you make the calculations, how much energy, time, and mind is he investing in keeping himself quote-unquote healthy versus the time that he can actually use and mental energy if he's always busy thinking about the whatever it is, whatever the latest mishigas is, then it's not efficient. It's not a very wise allocations of his time and energy. So if a person understands the tachlis of Torah is not that we be healthy and trim and fit, the tachlis of Torah is Torah, and everything else's tachlis is to bring to Torah. So then we'll have it right. And if we don't do right, the onus is it becomes harder to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a feedback by if we do the good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us more and more opportunities to do more good, and vice versa. That each mitzvah facilitates another mitzvah, each avera makes it harder to do another mitzvah and b'meli go do an avera. Let's stop a minute and ask ourselves, what's the justification for that type of punishment? So-and-so dragged his feet and didn't do a certain mitzvah. So the onus is that becomes harder. Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do mitzvahs, by raising if you failed the bar at X amount of feet, raising it higher is not going to help. Why will that help? So there are a lot of ways to understand it. You could just see it as a punishment straight out. But there's also, the truth is that perversely, many times in Klal Yisrael, you see that when things were tough is when they started, is when they responded well. I remember in Eish HaTorah also, they had become aware of a growing tshuva movement in Soviet Union. I was there myself in 87, and there was a whole burgeoning movement of Balei Tshuvas, etc. And it was kind of dangerous. The government there didn't officially allow it, and some, you know, depending on the whom, they made life very miserable for you, and so on. So Reb Noach knew about that, and he sort of it was always very inspired by it. And then a group of boys from Brazil came to learn yeshiva, and they were very nice kids, but they were kind of led. They were used to leading the easy life, and shmiras mitzvahs wasn't easy. And Reb Noach said, "Will it take the Brazilian government prohibiting mitzvahs to encourage more people to do it?" Like he was saying, in Russia it's dangerous and very difficult to keep mitzvahs, and people seem to find that challenge to actually stimulate them to do it, whereas in Brazil, where you can do whatever you want to do and so on, they don't seem to have much a harder time with it. Gan Eden. So what is Gan Eden? So Rambam learns, like others, Ramban speaks about in the beginning of Chumash, Harehu Mokum Doshein Mikadur Arts. It is a place in the world that is fertile. Rava Mai Vilanas, a lot of water and trees. Yigaleu Hashem Le'odem Lasid Lavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal it to us, V'yorim Aderech Elav. And he'll show us the way V'yehanu Boi. V'ulai Yimotsu Boi Tzmochen Nifloi Moi Drabi Tals V'arevis. Maybe they have all sorts of plants that are very useful. Zulz has a Fratzer Eleinu. It's not something that is so far-fetched. It's reasonable. Even though the Torah has not mentioned it. Even if the Torah had not mentioned it, wouldn't be... Now, the problem is, in the Rambam's days, most of the world was unexplored. For us today, the vast majority. I mean, we believe that every inch of the world has been explored to some degree. There might be some isolated patch somewhere in the Amazon that nobody's stepped foot, but hard to put that like that. So I don't know, but he says Gan Eden, Ramban, if you'll take a look, and Gan Chumash also talks about it. Vulam Gehenim. It's a very big tzar for the Shoim. Talmud, the Gemara does not give us any clear definition description of the tzar. Some say that the sun will move close to earth and burn them. That's some sort of so the Rambam learns Gehenim also as something seemingly in this world. He doesn't feel Gehenim relates to Olam HaNeshamas at all. Tchias HaMeisim Yesod Miyesodos Toras Moshe Ein Dos Vlodveikas Vlas Yehudis L'Misha Yamin Zeh. Tchias HaMeisim is one of the cornerstones of Torah. Aval Hilat Tzadikim. It's not universal. Shom Beishas Rabba Gvuras Kisham and Tzadikim Shoyim Tchias HaMeisim Tzadikim Bilvad Beich Richa Roshem VeMeisim Fil B'chayim VeKachom Olam Shalom Mishoyim Fil B'chayim Kuri Meisim Tzadikim Vizazim Kuri Nchayim Vida Ke Odom Yomus Bechreach Vipored L'masha Hurkav Mimeno. So he adds, it's interesting. So he says Tchias HaMeisim is one of the Sidis Hadas. We'll see more when we learn about it. Why is it so important, and so on. But he says that only tzaddikim will have tchias hameisim. So it's interesting. I'm not sure. Does he mean special tzaddikim? I mean, Chazal have a handful of items that they say that you're not saying tchias hameisim. Ribis being one of the most famous ones. The question is, are these very unusual ones? Like, does it take a lot not to get tchias hameisim? Or is it under the same gather of, Yom Adin stuff? I don't know. Yomayis HaMashiach. Harei hu zman shetoshaba malchus Yisrael. V'yashuv v'laretz Yisrael. Yomayis HaMashiach is malchus HaMashiach. Now this is very, very important. Because unlike Tchias HaMeisim and Gan Eden Gehenim, which don't have clear halachic ramifications. I mean, there's no hilchus Gan Eden Gehenim. They don't in any way affect halacha. They're just an understanding that there will be something tov and so on. Mashein Kein, Mashiach is a real halacha. Mashiach exists, and the Rambam he defines it. Rambam spends two parakim talking about it. Now, first of all, what is Mashiach? Let's forget about who is Mashiach, but let's focus on what is Mashiach. So, Mashiach is the recasting of Malchus and Klal Yisrael by someone that will rejuvenate and resurrect the Jewish nation. That's what Mashiach is. That's all it needs to be. Whether there's fireworks with it and all sorts of wonderful nice things, maybe yes, maybe not. It's lomal of lomorit. It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. Mashiach is defined as the reconnecting of monarchy to Klal Yisrael, and specifically in terms of resurrecting. The Klal Yisrael as a nation. Without a melech, we're not a nation. And that's what he is. So he says, V'oysa melech oymeit, tia biras malchusot Zion, his capital will be Yishlayim. V'yidashma v'yispashat avse oretz, v'oyfin yoysigol v'rav malchus Shlomo, he will spread out his reputation and his name will spread out the world. V'yashlima ma'umos, nations will come to peace with it. And they will listen to him because of his moral stature. And they will see wonderful things. So Mashiach is a king who will restore to Klal Yisrael its internal chshivas, and it will project it in the world over. And that's what all the psukim testify. Nothing will change from the way it is now, zula shetiamachos Yisrael, except this point. The tkufa of Mashiach does not need to herald in any moifsim. It's not built around it. Tchias hameifsim is kol kule moifis. This is kol kule not moifis. But there still will be strong and weaker people. But in those days, people will have easy time with parnasa. Ad sheba mal muot b'yoyse shem odim agir tazela. With a little bit of effort, a person will be able to attain what he needs. When a person finds something easily, he was served on a silver platter. In other words, he doesn't mean that there won't be any working the fields. Or I want to add something here, a side point, but I find it fascinating. There's a Goyish economist who's, I think, French, who's become very famous, Piketty, Thomas Piketty, I think his name is. He's become like the newest voice in economics, and he makes the following point, that yes, economies grow, things normally seem to get better, in general, all the numbers go upwards, the graphs are upwards, but the gap in growth between the wealthy people and the rest of the people is highly unequal. So the wealthy person keeps getting wealthier at a much higher rate than the weaker people are moving forward. Now let's think about it. Let's analyze this point. If you tell me that there are basic needs and poor people do not meet those basic needs, they go hungry. They have only two meals and they're very hungry lunchtime, but they can't afford lunch, or they have medical conditions that they can't afford to be treated, and so on. Those are clear markers of needs and wants, and by extension, that's poverty. But imagine the following scenario. Someone takes me into a store and tells me, pick whatever you'd like. It's on me. So I pick out this suit, that suit, the other suit, and the guy says, whatever you need, just make a clear list, think what you need for the next year, buy, and it's on my cheshbon. I do it. So I'm very happy. I have all the suits and shirts and ties, everything I need for the next year. Great. Then I see someone else going with something. I see somebody going with something that's fancier. And all of a sudden, I'm lacking it. So what does it mean? It's unfair because the rich are getting richer at a pace that outstrips the poor person. If there are needs, then if we say if the poor people don't have the needs met, they don't have the needs met, and that's that. But if they had the needs met, and it's just that the wealthier are able to get more schmances that they don't need quicker, so why is that significant? The way we live, we understand that there's a tachlis, and the tachlis includes is the full gamut of ruchnistic activities. We need to have needs taken care of, and needs can be taken care of in a very simple way, in a little bit more sophisticated way, and so on. but this type of the what other people have determines what's good and what's not good. That's a chiddush. So the mashal, the Moitz HaMashiach, going back to where we're coming from. Everybody will have their needs taken care of in a very non-time consuming way. But if people were not holding there, they still would be they still wouldn't be happy. So if I pick myself a car that I like and it's running and it's very nice, and then somebody else has a nicer car, all of a sudden I'm not happy with it. So to have this type of life, you need to have a sort of what's the right word for it? A baseline for what are needs, and that's it. So they say once 3 square meals are met, and whatever suit or two that I need, everything else should not be needed. Then he says, "Ulefikach koase achacham oimez adol tamidoi, kasha lehevin mimenu zayz hakavana, vechashav shadvarim kipshutam, veishiva kisir shir agasai, veloi zohi atshuva." So he says, when the guy said to him some sort of comment about, "I see that's a leitziglos kozikli milas," he said the reason why he was arguing with him or whatever wasn't, it was because he didn't like the people that seemed to take it very literally, that kli milas and so on is real clothing that would grow on the tree and so on and so forth. Because you see, he said altanik silkivalte. But the elos hagdoyle boisas manhi shlenuach mishibud masoy shor hamakvaseinu min amayas chulon. The real telos will be when we no longer will have people who rule over us, who are makiv us on these milas. V'tirba chachma kveshama kimolar tzdeyas Hashem. V'yiposku harivayz ha-melchomayz k'mesham l'yisugel goy cherev v'yasig m'shevayis ha-yom shlemus rabba yisgav ha-chayom haba. Okay. V'amashiach yomus. Yes. The Rambam is saying clear that now everybody seems to mind Rambam also will get to a point called Olam Haba, which is a final point. There's no longer, in so much as Bechira is only Chetimtza, there will come a point. The question is that Yemos HaMashiach or not? Rambam Sheet is very much not like that. That Yemos HaMashiach deals very specifically with, with a very, very normal type of life. It's just a way, it's resetting the game so that we can do what ruchnius without being bothered. V'yesh mishei v'amashiach yomos v'yamo tata b'noi ben b'noi v'kvaber Hashem Moise amal layichav layoretz ad yosem v'aretz mishpat. Now he's not telling us this information that this is me'ikri hadas. That's not, it's not significant that he'll die. What he means is, it's a return of Malchus in a normal Malchus to Gemahalach. It's completing the picture of a Mashiach the way he understands it. When you have less pressure, less tension, less stress, you live longer. I guess the Rambam knew all about stress and how bad it is. It could be thousands of years. Chachom already said that when you have a good society, it can last for forever. If you have a society that's sort of effectively, efficiently, and tov, then why would it stop? Chacham didn't look up for Yemos HaMashiach so that there would be a lot of money, and not because we'll have a great time in horseback riding or all sorts of entertainment, like stupid people think. The people who are Bali Nefesh, and they have a real special sense of things, a world where good and right and proper will be, is a much greater a gift and something to look forward to than just a place where Coca-Cola comes out of the ground. I mean, for people who are Bali Nefesh, the mess of the world, where you have injustice and crookedness and corruption and wars and everything bad happening, is a very, very painful. And it's sort of goes to the heart of understanding what humans are, what a society should be, and how people should be. So for somebody who's a Baal Nefesh, this is a much, 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 much deeper and greater, much deeper and greater joy than simply having a great tandugim and so on. So he says, so it's more than just personal shleimus of, you know, being able to realize your own potential. The idea of human society being able to have a world that's appropriate speaks to shleimim very much. It's shleimim are very, very taken by that idea, and therefore it's something which is very important to them. And the ability to mekayim all of Torah in a very, very perfect way. And now it's in, he says, below layers without becoming tired or worried or doing it the forced way, or being forced not to, I guess. So Lamaise, he says, when you have a situation where people have this type of shleimus, they will be able to then be masig olam haba. So it's another way. It's another avenue how to acquire olam haba by being able to by being able to do what we need to do and do it in a way that is unencumbered, we're able to achieve a certain shleimus. Okay, I guess it's a good place to stop. Any questions? Yeah. I didn't quite grab. What do you mean? You mean, yeah. We're assuming that we have emes on our side, and if people were not blinded and they were shleimus, they would be makir emes. I guess that's our sense of it. So if the world will have an overall a much greater sense of shleimus, then they would be makir in our emes. I think that's what he means. that like what? I would say no. Let's take a look today. You have people who are born with a deep need for knowledge and understanding and sensitivity. They're born with certain tchunis that make it easy. It's not that they don't have any soyan, but their overall psyche lends itself to doing what's right and what's good. You see it, look at a classroom and there's some kids that seem to just be born. Whatever it is that they have, it's not they have a lack of bechira, but whatever it is that they have, the tchunas they have, seem to fit easily into it. You see it all the time. What do you mean? What makes it last? What do you might say, Mashiach? So I assume that the main thing is the strength of the temptation away will be gone, and we'll still not have a hechreach to do it, but at least we won't have something pushing us actively to the other side. I'll give you a mashal. There are some mitzvahs, some averis, that we don't have it's lost sharpness. So yes, it might be a nicer suit, might be expensive to remove it, but it's, we don't have a tshuka and a yearning fit that pulls us that direction. Arayas we do. And if our feeling about arayas was of the same nature as to sharpness, it would be a lot easier to work with it, struggle with it. Okay, so I assume the next few weeks we're off. What's the story? What are you? You're on. So next week I think I can do it.